What point is there in environmental regulations that don't have to be followed by likely chief offenders? It shows knowledge and premeditation of crime. It shows corruption. It shows pure power scoffing at rule of law and democratic process. Thank you, at Kent Pittman, at climatejustice.social, there in reply to at Bellingen, at mastodon.au, Bellingen, New South Wales, who is quoting, proposed amendments hidden within the government's offshore petroleum and greenhouse gas storage legislation amendment safety and other measures bill 2024 would carve out the offshore oil and gas industry from needing to comply with a national environmental law, according to an assessment by environmental law experts. Welcome to the Lispy Gopher Climate. Yours truly, being Screw Lisp, as named by Mousebot. The show was named by Jeff, originally, modified by the climate crisis to feature the word climate, which we deal with at the top of the show here, in this case by, I'm describing this as found poetry by Kent Pittman. If you're hungry for a more conformist haiku senryu, Kent's friend, whose name I should just remember at this point, but don't. Mario Lion Rotsteg. Sorry about my Dutch pronunciation. Somebody in SDF Commode chat will better me. Has had another haiku published by the Scarlet Dragonfly Journal. I'm just mentioning that because I largely see those two together on the Mastodon. I argue that Kent's polemic against destroying the Earth, or Australia particularly, I guess, against Australia destroying the Earth, in that case, though not uniquely, was also a haiku senryu, because I think the main condition for being a haiku is to be about the climate, and the main condition for a senryu is to be about human foibles, even though we associate them with the 575 popular form, which I do think is culturally significant as well. Let me quickly say welcome to everyone joining us, chatting away in SDF Commode chat, and also over on tild.chat, which is an IRC. If you go there, I think there's a web client into the IRC as well, if you're thusly inclined, where I'm in anon radio on tild.chat and SDF Commode chat. So welcome to JNS, host of SDF's Amateur Radio Club. Welcome to Northern Lights, who has hung around, the incredible DJ of the show you've just been enjoying, Ratsu, Dependable Ratsu, who is really the main co-host. Kat has noticed that I'm not looking at IRC, where we were chatting in comfy over on tild.chat before, but Kat has joined us in SDF Commode chat. I'm going to say welcome to Christy O'Twisty if she joins us through time. Christy just had to step out because her kid had a popped shoulder. Pamivost says, whatever it could possibly mean, the NCCL crew is here. We just point out that CL is also the initialism of Common Lisp, which there's some untapped potential there. Alpha Lux has been around. Really, everyone is just appreciating Northern Lights. Pizza Pal is here. JNS is around. Supernova. Ingrix. Who was I talking to before? Some other people are kind of in and out. Like I think Lycana. Quinton minus minus is here, even though there is no karma system anymore. Alex Lem is around. Thrig is still here. Thrig, I'm not going to read the entirety of Com Lisp. Pamivost says, New Siberia Common Lisp. If you see the Unix Surrealism banner for today, the Lisp alien is wearing a t-shirt with the face of Eric Sandoval, the one on his resume, I think, from the 90s. We were digging around the University of Linköping for what files we could still find, and that shirt is a work of beauty, and I definitely need one of those myself. If anyone would like to send me one. Welcome to Jay LaMoth. Jay LaMoth, I'm going to talk about Lamdamu later. Jay LaMoth is my, I was going to say my Lamdamu wizard friend, but that has a technical meaning in Lamdamu. Maybe Jay LaMoth is my non-wizard Lamdamu friend. Yes, the famous Sandwall t-shirt. What's the shop? We can get the t-shirt from Redbubble or something like that. Anyway, you can go to analognowhere.com and follow it around for the Unix surrealist artist of the show. But the reason I'm kind of babbling a little bit away from the climate is that I need to address the climate crisis last, because I had a bit of an idea that involved Lamdamu. And yeah, Jay LaMoth corrects me. Jay LaMoth is more of a sorcerer than a wizard. Yes. Did we have anything else to say about the climate? Well, everything kind of comes together. What did I say we were going to talk about in the show notes? Wait, I should thank DJ Tanakian, well known around SDF and SDF's sometime improvisational... improvisational electronic music and synth music. So obviously we're listening to... So this is a recording of a live performance Enki did for... Boy, I should remember this. Does anyone else know? Let me just press a bunch of buttons. We're going to find out. So DJ Enki is like me in that Enki uses kind of software on waveforms to do their kind of electronic music. And this is a live performance they did for, that was broadcast on another radio. It was some festival in Europe somewhere. Oh, I wish I named my folders more uniquely. Bohemnots? Has anyone else heard of this? So this was Enki live at Bohemnots in a location I've forgotten. You should check Enki out on the Tubenix. So if you search for at Tanakian at the tubenix.org PeerTube, which is the federating video sharing platform, and tubenix.org is SDF's instance of it. Quentin says, when in doubt, press a bunch of buttons. Hopefully that was audible somehow. And so Enki was doing this for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and I'm just going to leave this in the background as my kind of ambience, and I just hope everyone can hear it. So thank you for that, Enki. I always love Enki's music. And so to some extent, not to some extent, to a great extent, to a supreme extent, Fugue State Audio is my kind of analog synth show that I love every week, and Enki is my kind of soft software synth fountain, whom I love every week. As at Praho at Mervay.town maybe is it's my Unix Surrealism fountain. There's actually a lot of sharp sign Unix _ Surrealism contenders now, aren't there? But thank you for the show banners, Praho. For everyone who hasn't seen it yet, so this Lispy Gopher show is the Lisp alien, the bipedal Lisp alien, but still with many eyes and the hand nose, in the Eric Sandoval shirt with the gopher next to them and the gopher's interlisp shirt. There's kind of a fun color version, and they're kind of punk, though there's also a monochrome version for the monochromistly inclined. I think I'm going to talk about the gopher first, and it will just kind of obviously be related to the climate. Quentin asks, what does EPO mean and why did it get real quite? I'm not sure what EPO means in this context. It's short enough to have many possible meanings, I guess. I think Ratsu is enjoying the background sounds from Inky. Gemlog has woken up. Welcome, Gemlog. The first gopher. I just had two vlogs I was reading. The Gopherverse is quite kind of active now. Like, I guess in the last couple of years, it's been getting a bit faster. But if you stare at a small enough vlog roll, it's still kind of manageable day to day. But so I was reading one of Candide's. Does anyone know how to actually say Candide? EPG in SDF Kimo chat for a split second saw EPG instead of EPO. What does EPG mean, EPG? Quentin is telling people to ignore Screwtape, but, you know, I still wish you well. They stopped the karma system from working, probably because of how many negative digits Quentin was using, causing some kind of catastrophe. EPG was born off topic. I'm going to keep talking about Candide for a moment, which I believe is named after Voltaire's writing. I may have got Voltaire confused with somebody else, but I looked it up on Wikipedia beforehand, and Candide was writing about, this is a climate issue, how kind of the modern aspiration is to appear cool at all times and about all things. And this ties into the kind of conversation we were having with also Bread and Circuses at climatejustice.social and talking about kind of Greta's speeches about how, you know, people who care about the climate crisis are getting called doomers, and basically because we're not acting cool. But acting cool is completely inappropriate right now. You know, this, we're in a terrible scenario. So around 48 hours after Bread and Circuses and then Kent Pittman were kind of sharing their thoughts and references to the academic publication of the ocean surface warming statistics, where you can see beginning of this year, instead of the ocean surface temperature kind of going down and following its cycle, it's just kind of ramped up and no longer looks like the seasonality from previous years up to now. Who knows what's going to happen next month as the data comes out, which was striking. And around 48 hours, 24 hours after the Lispy Gopher climate, that started to become kind of popular, at least around the Mastodon where I was looking at it. But what Candide was saying was this primacy of coolness and kind of how important kind of warmth and enjoyment and kind of life and just showing emotion as a regular part of the human experience. This had really been suppressed and needed to sort of be rekindled. And that, to me, really, really connected to the climate crisis. And I note that Kent writes poetry to kindle people's spirits in the fight for protecting or kind of doing what we can for the climate. And I forget who we were talking about this with, but I'm waiting for there to be big billboards that say "Keep calm and carry on," reflecting the climate crisis. Like you get the weird kind of double talk and double think, where people can say, "Well, the annual seasonal nature of surface ocean temperatures is basically gone. Looking at this graph for the last 6 months, it's just gone somewhere else." So if the cycle is somewhere it's never been before, it's not really a cycle at this point, and it's quite striking to look at. I didn't link that for today because that was last week's topic, and I assume everyone is well familiar with that. Pizza Pal saw a movie called The Doom Generation. Quentin is making some video called the Radio Star joke that I don't really understand. Jay LaMoth says, being a doomer is reasonable when actual doom is looming on the horizon. Or, emerging out of the ocean in a kind of Lovecraftian spin on this. But I wanted to, on the topic of the kind of keep calm and carry on, we have the kind of double think where people might say, Oh, well, yeah, there is kind of inescapably, it's a climate crisis, you know. The ocean has just changed temperature, and we have no idea what's happening now or next. And on the other hand, then they could ask, and which of the companies destroying the Earth do you work for? Gotta work for somebody. Cat, who is gopher:/bod.baby, B-A-U-D.baby. Let's say for a minute, we know for a fact that this is just a cycle and the world will get hot and then cool down again. That doesn't make it any less scary. Yeah, so it's okay. You know, we have no idea what happens yet. We might become Mars-like. Maybe liquid water will kind of become frozen or otherwise go away for most of the year. As it's expected that this was part of Mars's history, that there used to be liquid oceans on Mars, but there hasn't been for a long time, and Mars is a sort of frozen hellscape now. No offense to Martians. Northern Lights says, not so much keep calm and carry on, but panic is also paralyzing. Pete Spell has a deep metaphor to Highlander here. Yeah, Jay LaMoth, I'm gonna listen to my crazy Lambda Mu idea that's gonna come later, that I'm gradually building up to. Gemlog works at tree farms. So turning carbon dioxide into trees, I understand to be a carbon dioxide mitigating industry. But in a study that was done on New Zealand, basically for New Zealand to meet its climate goals, which New Zealand's leadership is not intending to. New Zealand's current government doesn't believe in the climate. But in order to meet like the current climate goals from all those climate meetings that was just happening, New Zealand would have to, I believe, replace all farmland with exotic pine growth and then not harvest them would be the only way for New Zealand to meet those, that attempt to mitigate the climate crisis. Ingrix shares the trouble with the climate crisis. Ingrix's confusion, or trouble, or sorry, I don't mean to use loaded language, says the climate crisis is that I am aware of its implications and likelihood, but it is not actually clear what path to take to not cause enormous problems for everyone. Boy, have I got a plan for you later in this episode. Most of the things that cause CO2 emissions are pretty fundamental to how people live on this planet at all. Boy, have I got a planet for you later in this episode. Let alone in modern society with all the nice medicines we like and stuff. Yeah, I've totally got a plan for this, which you're going to hear later. Ratsu is a doomer. Well, maybe a doom appreciator. I appreciate that, you know how things are going badly at some point in Lovecraft's universe, and like the kind of planet-eating horrors emerging from the ocean? And that's basically what's happening, but it turns out that capitalism was one of these planet-eating horrors, and it was more kind of heating the ocean, I guess heat. I don't know. Draw your own boiled frog analogy from this. Yeah, Quentin is saying everyone should just be in SDF commode chat. I can't capture all of this. Yeah, Alex Lem is sharing that, but I disagree with this. I don't agree that this is possible to do. So Alex Lem is saying IKEA is able to be carbon neutral because they are buying land in New Zealand and planting trees on it to offset their carbon damage in other places. But really, we need to be doing the good things and not also then having carbon credits that are being used. Schroeder says, doom enthusiast. Can we have a brief break? Let's listen to some more deep, dark, inky music for like 3 minutes. Then we'll talk a little bit about Schroeder's after step adventure. And we'll try and cruise through some more topics. I was planning to get to Jeff's gopher flog on kind of asking everybody what they're actually doing, what their plan is, because that's also kind of climate-y, but everything is kind of coming together. Welcome to Thrig and Ingrix, if I missed mentioning you. All right, let's just listen to some Inky. DJ Tanakian. I'm going to make this a little louder, but not super louder like I normally do. Yeti is joining us through time, everyone, tomorrow. Welcome, Yeti, from the future. Also over on the tilt.chat. The Lispy Gopher Climate has everything, including time travel. And the stream coughing a little bit. All right, I'm gonna keep talking. Oh no, the music just got intense. Alright, we're going to use this intense music's power, because intense climate calls for intense climate rumination. I'm going to leave you to read Schroeder's writing about Schroeder's kind of after step adventure. So you know, there was Next Step in the 90s, I guess, and then there was kind of New Step, and these were all based on kind of Next graphics framework starting in the late 80s, I think, which I believe was a C++ object-oriented graphics framework, something like that. No, it was an Objective-C graphics framework. This is where Objective-C is from, right? Read Schroeder on this topic. So I wanted to talk about Jeff's vlog, where Jeff is kind of trying to figure out for Jeff, or Jeff asks the general question, you know, what is Jeff doing? And Jeff asks everyone else on the gopher, kind of, what are you doing? And kind of explain yourself. And obviously, you know, Kent Pittman is doing their wonderful kind of climate awareness, and also, you know, historically advised computing awareness and like teaching us all about Lisp and doing and sharing everything wonderful that they do and supporting kind of new generations of kind of Lisp and Superdimensional Fortress people. Jalamoth clarifies, so many Objective C classes start with NS because of next step. And so Schroeder finally got into this by trying an operating system called AfterStep. And so Jeff was talking about kind of the problem that seems to have happened with a lot of activists, was that all the activists who kind of broke into mainstream sort of became media characters and almost caricatures of themselves, and hence really kind of supporting the status quo, because we like, you know, Australia will make a pronouncement like oil companies don't have to obey environmental regulations when drilling oil near Australia, something like this. And then the activists say, that's obviously bad. And the feeling is that this has sort of been kind of normalized to the extent that just pointing out, this is obviously psychopathic and we shouldn't be doing this, it's not having the deep impact that it should. I think this is a little bit of what Jeff was pointing out about the kind of danger of kind of past effective activists just kind of becoming passé, sort of wrongfully. I remember Noam Chomsky also writing about this, that you have to think about not just kind of if something is morally good, but what effect is going to follow from it. And so Jeff is kind of exploring the ideas of what is an effective way to act. And Jeff is a very kind of deep meditative guru expert. You can listen to Jeff do improvisational music while leading meditations, this kind of thing. And Jeff is kind of exploring his connection and kind of role to kind of cultural movements in a way kind of distinct from sort of classic era activism. So I refer you to Jeff's writing. Jeff also has taken asking the kind of Gopher Cultural Monthly 5 questions over from Christio Twisty. So I recommend to read Jeff's 5 questions as well. A little bit more lighthearted. It involves describing your favorite soup. And Christio Twisty, for example, has answered